In both readings today, we have this principle that you might call reversal. Everything that looks great is not so great. Everything that doesn't look great is really great. And so our Lord, here in the Beatitudes, blessed are you who are poor. Now it's the same as Matthew. Matthew doesn't mean, blessed are you who are rich but would like to be poor. He means, blessed are you who are so poor in your spirit. You know, you are really humble. Your heart is broken. Those are the ones for the kingdom of God, you see. And so throughout this, in the first reading, we're now in chapter 7 in the letter to the Corinthians. And I wish they had given us, in fact, we'll talk about it a little anyway, the second part of chapter 6, because it shows light. And here we've skipped all the way down to verse 25 in chapter 7. With this teaching, the most profound and the most ample in the whole of the New Testament on sexuality, it is so important to have a vision for what the Lord has brought by way of an understanding of this whole dimension of life. In chapter 6, the part that we skipped, he's going after people who say, well, we're so spiritual, we're so beyond all this, that food is for the belly and the belly is for food. The body is for sexuality and sexuality for the body. And Paul says, absolutely not. You don't understand. Yes, food for the belly and the belly for food, yes. But you see, the body is for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now we're talking about the whole human person who is a self-conscious body forever. And you cannot treat your body that way, or anybody else's. Now what happens, precisely, and this is what we see all around us, when people are very indulgent in the area of sexuality, they trivialize themselves. I mean, you have this job and you work for this money. Yeah, you quit that one, you get this job. You marry this person, you marry another person. You're trivial. There's nothing to you. And that's what happens when we don't take our bodies seriously. You see, my body is me. If you hit my arm, I don't say you hit my arm, I say you hit me. And that's vision, you see. And so Paul, when I was teaching at Catholic University, I did a course on the church, and I loved it. Because part of the course was to teach this material about the nature of the church as the body of Christ. And understand how important, how beautiful, what an exalted vocation we have. And only those who live chaste lives get it. How important forever is our physical existence. God made matter. He loves it. And he will transform all this universe by the direct gift of his own divine life one day. If you have a chance, many will have it at home, but if you have one, look, I'll bring it in one day. St. Thomas wrote this book, the Summa Contra Gentiles, the work against the non-believers, sort of. It was written as a handbook for his Dominican brethren who were going out to dialogue with the Muslims. That's what it was for. The very last chapter, the very last words of the last chapter, are a vision of the transformed universe, physical universe. And so, you see, they were saying, we're spiritual. It doesn't make any difference what we do with our bodies, you see. They're just bodies. That's Gnostic. That's all over this poor nation. And the result is such ignorance and such despair. and people trivializing themselves, you see. Whereas the Lord says, you see, I cannot take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot. My body is Christ. Christ lives in me. This is part of Christ forever. And I can't do what I want with it. And it's not trivial. It's eternal. Don't you realize that your reality, your physical reality, is eternal and is part of the way we glorify God? You can't live like that. And this happens, you see, when there's self-indulgence, there's pseudo-spirituality. Or where there's pseudo-spirituality, there's self-indulgence. What difference does it make? It's only the body. And what are you saying about yourself? See what you're saying about yourself? I don't matter. It makes no difference. And I'm willing to buy my sexual indulgence at the price of my dignity. That's terrible. That's the reversal. Now, in the text, that's the text we didn't have. So, now, in the text we have, we're down. He's already talked about. Now, married couples, if you wish to abstain for a while, if you both agree, do it for prayer. But not for a long, long time. It's not your vocation. As it says, Paul, this mystic, this genius, so balanced, a real pastor in this area when he's talking. Now he says, now regarding virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I give my opinion. Now, what he's looking at, it sounds like he thinks, well, the world is going to end next week, so why get married? That's not what he's saying. See, the Lord is close, not chronologically, but spiritually. He's always right here. And if you are called to live a celibate life, then by all means do so. You glorify God, you anticipate heaven, you have joys that no one can understand except those who are celibate until we get to heaven. It's a great privilege. And you show forth to the world, you see, what we're all going to be like forever. Well, that's an enormous grace. In fact, he calls it a charism. It's an enormous grace. But it's not for everybody. Because remember, the perfection of the Christian life is love. There used to be these nuns over in Paris. They were Jansenists, who were very strict people. And they used to say about those nuns, they're pure as angels and proud as devils. So it wasn't doing them a heck of a lot of good, you see. So he's trying to say, are you bound to a wife? Don't seek a separation. Are you free of a wife? Then don't look for a wife if you're called to be celibate. But he's not, I mean, if you read the whole passage, the whole chapter, you know, he's not saying, oh, the further you can get away from sexuality, the better. He's not saying that. First place, he's a man of the Bible. He knows Genesis. Male and female, he made them. He knows that male and female make up the image of God. So he's not saying that, okay? Now, if you marry, however, you do not sin. You can see what's going on. The seared consciences of the Corinthians, one of the most profligate cities in the empire. And all these people have come from that way of life, and they're still scared to death of sex. And he's saying, don't be scared to death. If you marry, you do not sin. Nor does an unmarried woman sin if she marries. But you're going to have a life with a lot of, you know, bills and sickness and, you know. And if you're called to be free of that, to devote your life to worship of God, do it. But if you're not, sanctify that, because if you grab hold of that vocation with love, you can leave all the celibates in the dust. Do I make myself clear what he's trying to say? It's got nothing to do with, oh, how terrible sexuality is, you see. How could he say that as a man of the Bible? when we have the Song of Songs, which shows there the love, the fire of love, this fire of passion, as reflecting the very love that God has for us and we for God. In fact, that Song of Songs is a meditation on Adam's hymn of joy. This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha because she is taken from Ish. A hymn of joy at the wonder of male and female. And that is the foundation for the Song of Songs. Another hymn. But anyone who knows the Lord, who reads that, recognizes that's what goes on between the Lord and me. That's what goes on between the Lord and me on another deep spiritual level. He says, the time is running out. He doesn't think the world's going to end. He means God is close. So listen to him and choose the way of life that God chooses for you and love him and love everybody and you'll be a saint.